There was widespread media coverage of a Russian campaign to influence the election. Numerous unnamed government officials were identified as sources in those stories. Prominent legislators issued statements and told the media they had been briefed about the Russian interference campaign. Candidate Clinton herself was talking about the Russian effort to elect her opponent. The websites and social media outlets pushing out stolen emails, including WikiLeaks and the Twitter page of its founder, Julian Assange, were widely and publicly associated with Russia. Given all of that, the administration's October statement was at best a marginal addition to the public's knowledge. Adding the FBI's name would change nothing and be inconsistent with the way we hope to operate on the eve of an election. Despite what politicians and pundits may say, there are no written rules about how the FBI and the Department of Justice should handle investigations as elections draw near. But there is a powerful norm that I always tried to follow. We should try to avoid, if possible, any action in the run-up to an election that could have an impact on the election result. In October 2016, there was no good reason for the FBI to speak about the Russians and the election. Americans already knew what was happening, so the FBI could reasonably avoid action. But avoid action was not an option when the Clinton email investigation came back to my office in October in a powerful and unexpected way. 4 months after I had declared in front of cameras that the FBI had done a thorough investigation and was finished. At some point in early October, someone at FBI headquarters, I think it was Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, mentioned to me that former Congressman Anthony Weiner had a laptop that might have some connection to the Clinton email case. I don't remember the conversation clearly. I suspect that is because it seemed like a passing comment, and the notion that Anthony Weiner's computer might connect to Midyear and Hillary Clinton made no sense to me. Weiner was a disgraced former Democratic congressman from New York who resigned in 2011 after revelations that he was sending naked pictures of himself to a variety of women. He was also the estranged husband of Huma Abedin, one of Secretary Clinton's closest aides. The FBI had come into possession of the content of Weiner's laptop as part of a criminal investigation into Weiner's alleged improper contact with underage girls. The criminal investigators in New York had a search warrant that allowed them to review certain files from the laptop. In the course of their work, the criminal team saw other file names, but they could not open those under the authority of their search warrant, which was confined to materials directly relevant to the sex case. And some of the names on those thousands of email files led the criminal team in New York to think they might be related to the Clinton case. At 5:30 a.m. on Thursday, October 27th, 12 days before the election, McCabe sent me an email saying the Midyear team needed to meet with me. I had no idea what that was about, but of course asked my staff to set something up as soon as possible. Later that morning, I walked into my conference room and smiled broadly at the team leaders, lawyers, and executives from the Midyear case, each sitting in the same seats they had occupied so many times in the year of the Clinton email investigation. "The band is back together," I said as I slid into my seat. "What's up?" It would be a long time before I smiled like that again. Members of the team explained that it appeared Weiner's laptop contained hundreds of thousands of emails from Hillary Clinton's personal email domain. This was an enormous trove of Secretary Clinton's emails. In 2014, Clinton had turned over to the State Department about 30,000 emails and deleted about 30,000 others as personal. This was far higher than those totals. But there was something else that caught their attention. The Midyear team had never been able to find Secretary Clinton's emails from her first few months as Secretary of State, a period during which she was using an AT&T BlackBerry email domain. The investigators had been keen to find those early emails, because if there were so-called smoking gun emails, perhaps in which the secretary had been instructed not to use her personal email system, or in which she had acknowledged doing something improper with classified materials, those emails were likely to be at the beginning of her tenure at State, when she first set up her own email address. But we had never found those early BlackBerry emails. For reasons no one around the table could explain, the Weiner laptop held thousands of emails from the AT&T BlackBerry domain. They told me those might well include the missing emails from the start of Clinton's time at the Department of State. The team said there was no prospect of getting Wiener's consent to search the rest of the laptop, given the deep legal trouble he was in. "We would like your permission to seek a search warrant." "Of course," I replied quickly. "Go get a warrant." "How fast can you review and assess this?" I asked. Everyone in the room said that this review would take many weeks. There was, they said, simply too much material to do it more quickly. They needed to individually read tens of thousands of emails, and it had to be done by people who knew the context. This was not a situation where we could bring in hundreds of FBI employees to do the work. They wouldn't know what they were reading or looking for. The team told me there was no chance the survey of the emails could be completed before the November 8th election, now less than 2 weeks away. "Okay," I said. "Do it as quickly as you can, but do it well, always well, no matter how long that takes." After the meeting, the team contacted lawyers at the Justice Department, who agreed we needed to immediately get a search warrant for the Clinton emails on Wiener's laptop. Now we had another decision to make. In July, and in the period since, I had repeatedly told the country and Congress that the FBI had done an honest, competent, and independent investigation, and we were finished. There was no case here. People could take that to the bank. Yet, on October 27th, the FBI and the Department of Justice had just decided to seek a search warrant to review a huge trove of Hillary Clinton's emails, including information that conceivably could change our view of the investigation. And, as I was assured by top investigators at the Bureau, there was no prospect of finishing the review before the election. What was our responsibility? As I've noted, our long-standing tradition is to avoid, if at all possible, taking any action that might have an impact on an election. That tradition, that norm, was part of my identity. It was why the FBI hadn't signed the October Obama administration statement about Russian election interference. If this was a brand new investigation, doing nothing would have been an option. But in the Clinton email case, I saw only two choices, only two doors, and they were both actions. One door was marked speak. By speaking, I would tell Congress that the FBI's prior statements about the investigation being over were no longer true. That would be really, really bad. It would put the Bureau and me in a place where we might have an impact on an election. Really bad. Nauseating, even.